Lord, what a blessing it is. What a privilege it is. Lord, we just gathered here asking again that you just open our hearts to the Word of God. Make it real to us, Lord. As the Word of God comes forth, the inspired Word, Lord, may it just stir in us so greatly, Lord, to cause a greater place of coming into you, Lord, of being conformed to the image of your Son. And Lord, you'd have a greater preeminence for our lives. And Lord, as we stand here and comes to the time of listening to the Word of God, help us to be able to dismiss anything, Lord, off our minds that would not be according to thy will, O God. That we'd not have any distractions whatsoever. But Lord, sit very attentively and listen closely, that we don't miss, Lord, one word. May it be meant for us today that, Lord, we could draw closer to you. So we appreciate you now, Lord, and so thankful that you gave us this day. Just help us now to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord Jesus, that we may glorify you above all things. In your lovely, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 142 in our Only Believe. Big books here.
Oh, ye saints of light, proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Life and mercy in his name, Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Jesus, the light of the world. Oh.
and by night. Amen. Yes. Praise his name. I'd like to turn to page 254, same book. Amen. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us. A little bit closer to home. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Lost my paper. Amen. I'd like to sing Redeemed. You know what page that's on. Brother Smith's going to have some extra notes up here. Page 140. Amen. You redeemed. Amen. Amen. By His grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed.
Give Him His praise. Amen. Thank Him for His glory. Praise His wonderful name. Brother Paul, will you mind taking up the offering again? Amen. So much to thank Him for, saints. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come to meet in the house of the Lord here, Father, Lord Jesus. As we shut the world out, Father, Lord, and just come to hear Your word once again, Lord Jesus. Pray, just speak to our hearts now this day, Lord Jesus, as the word comes forth, Lord Jesus. And we go through the book of Acts, Father, and we just may bring forth a life in us, Lord Jesus, that we can write another book of Acts with our lives, Lord Jesus, that's lived out from us, Father. May it just strengthen us and make us more like You, Lord Jesus. We ask You for that in our lives, Lord Jesus. And pray for all the blessed ministers He brings it forth now, Lord. I ask to bless this tithes and offerings for the presence of Your kingdom, Lord Jesus, and blessing each other one, Lord Jesus, and just have You win away in this service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Can we sing that chorus? He is here. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Amen. Hear Him calling out your name. Hallelujah. Praise your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. Amen.
Thank you. Anyone have a need upon our heart again tonight, by the raising our hand? Let's just keep it before Him. We want to continue to remember Brother Justin Hart in our prayers. Ask the Lord to touch that situation. Amen. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You once more. Lord, with such a precious desire in our hearts, Lord, that You can only give. Lord, to be here to hear Thy precious word once more. Lord, it's such a precious burning desire, Lord, in that bride. Lord, we long to hear what You have for us, Lord, to take that next step.
Yes.
Lord, to show this world that there's Jesus Christ alive again today.
Hey.
And Lord, as we take the needs upon the people's heart before You, Lord, we know for a matter of fact You are alive and well in our lives and in our hearts, Lord, in our midst. Lord, we know that You can take care of any and every situation there is.
Amen.
Lord, every need that the people have, Lord, You can take care of by Your precious, holy, Your grace and Your mercy, Lord. We're so thankful for the opportunity, Lord, to ask and bring our petitions before You, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we just bring Brother Justin before You again this night. Lord, we don't know the whole situation, Lord, but we ask You to have Your preeminence in that situation, Lord. Bless him, comfort him, Lord, and bring him back with us. And, Lord, Your time, Lord, You see fit. Lord, bless each and every one that is gathered here today, Lord, whatever their needs may be. Lord, I pray that You'll bless it. Lord, in a mighty way, Lord, give them what they have need of. Lord, only by Your precious, Your
yes.
perfect will, Lord. Lord, and the greatest need we have in this life, Lord, is revelation of Thy precious word. Lord, we pray, Lord, You'll grant us one more time, Lord, we gather. Lord, You'll grant us revelation, Lord, to see what You have for us in this day, Lord, that we may go out and live, Lord, like we said. Lord, it's such a small people, Lord, that You have picked, Lord, that You have predestinated, Lord, to do Your perfect will. Lord, may we count ourselves as privileged to be among them, Lord. Never forget, Lord, never take it for granted, Lord, that You love each and every one of us, Lord, before we ever loved You. Lord, just have Your way now in the reign of the service. Let everything that's said and done be done according to Your perfect will. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Praise His name. You may be seated. Amen. Anyone have a special in their heart tonight? Amen. Want to give you another opportunity? Amen. Anyone at all? I ask the sisters if you got something. We ask the sisters to come if they will. Amen.
Let us all stand now and just ask the Lord to open our hearts now as the Word of God comes forth and our brother comes forward. Sing our little chorus, Only Believe. Amen. Only believe. Only believe. All things are
Father, we thank you. thank you for this time that we can be together. Thank you, Lord, for your word that's real. Lord, it's alive. And it's alive in the hearts of believers down through the world of the ages. And Lord, here we are tonight, gathered to hear more of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful music. We thank you for the wonderful spirit here in this little church. We pray that you'd always bless them, Lord. Keep them balanced. Keep them focused on your coming. Bless Brother Stephen. Bless each of the people that are normally here. Bless the visitors. Lord, guide us through your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord and to be amongst people that believe.
Amen.
I've been amongst people that don't believe, and it's a lot better this way. So we're over here in chapter 19. Just a test there. So we have Brother Apollos. He's a believer from Alexandria, remember? And he's holding meetings in Corinth. And Paul is traveling, you know, he came in contact with the believers over in Ephesus. It's an important city at that time, maybe a city of 350,000. And Priscilla and Aquila, they're there, you know, they got their little RV, you know, tent manufacturing going on. And so 19 and verse 2, and he'd come through the coast, you know, that means the border of Ephesus. And he said, have you all received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, well, we don't have any idea if there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost. And he said, well, how in the world were you baptized? And he said, unto John's baptism. And then said, well, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, Christ Jesus. Well, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So, perfectly carrying out the pattern of Acts chapter 2. This is the early church, this is where it all began. And so, here's the great missionary Paul, servant of the Lord. And we think it's a whole bunch of people. No, it's right there in verse 7. And all the men were about 12. Now, there might have been some women, we don't know, but there was just this group of 12 men, 12 people, that this whole part of the chapter is about. So, this same pattern was carried out at each baptism throughout the entire Gospels. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, up until a time when the Holy Roman Catholic Church, you know, changed that to the Trinitarian idea in the year 325, okay, a long time ago. So baptism remained pure, remained simple in the name of Jesus Christ for over 300 years. And for almost 1,700 years now, the prevailing teaching has been and continues to be following the words, the exact red letter words of Jesus Christ from Matthew 28:19, but without revelation. See, anybody can read the word and repeat it, but if there's no anointing, it's like the good cooks that we have here. I'm sure they're all good cooks, right? So we're not going to, no discrimination. But you can walk through the grocery store, and here's all this nice stuff, and you can, wow, you read the labels, wow, this is good, and that would go good. But if you don't put it together, all you got is flour. And you got some stuff you can't use, make you sick. But it takes an anointing of the Holy Ghost to put this together to make something useful.
Amen.
So, but God, rich in mercy, amen, sent his prophet in the 20th century to open our eyes, our understanding, and we know God by his word and by revelation.
Amen.
But it doesn't come by osmosis. In other words, you can't, you know, sleep with the Bible and think it's going to come in. No, you got to get in and read it.
Amen.
You kids that are in school, and those of us that can remember those days, you had to read the chapter. You had to know what it's about, you know. So we have an open book, not just a dead letter. So Paul stayed there over 2 years as pastor, verse 10. Where is it at here? 19 and 10. When divers were hardened, believed not, but spake evil of the way that the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily. Oh, wait a minute. I'm looking at verse 10, aren't we? Verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia, now that sounds like you know, thousands, was that area, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So they all heard, and I would suggest that you read carefully chapter 3 of the Church Age book. That's all the details of this time frame. Speaking of the early church, Brother Branham says in page 86, their persecutions and trials and patience were over. Who all came to church? Who stayed home? Who married who? No, over the blessed name of Jesus. You know, that is not at all strange, for it is the word and the name that brings the enemy pouring after us like a flood. That mighty word which was manifested in healing, signs, wonders, and other demonstrations caused the Pharisees to scream out for the death of the true believers. Now, these Pharisees and Sadducees that we, you know, we got them way over there someplace, they were Bible students. These were the religious people of the day. But they just couldn't handle that there was a manifestation of all those words they memorized, you see. He says here, and now that name, hated and despised by the Jews, is mocked by the cultured, you know, that's important people, the arrogant people, as they laugh to think that anyone could be so foolish to believe in a man that died and rose again is now seated in heaven. They thought that was, you know, just crazy. So here were the religious persecutors, the Jews, cursing this Jesus that caused Paul to leave Corinth, remember, who to them was a false Messiah. And here were the others laughing with delight and mocking sarcastically at the name of the new God, who to them wasn't any God at all. Continue here in the next paragraph. Now here's something else that started in that age and will continue right down through the ages, getting deeper and darker to dark Laodicea till today, right? That is, people were repudiating that name. That's a big word. It's got more than two syllables. It means to refuse to recognize, to reject, just to put out altogether. They're repudiating that name. It was not the true Ephesian church that was doing it. No, sir. It was the false apostles using the same Bible. It was the outsider trying to get in and defile the believers. The Ephesians knew that name, and they loved it. And that's why we believe tonight, because we believe the name of Jesus Christ. In 1955, in a message called The Great Servant Moses, he says, now, as Moses went with that judgment stick before him, that same stick tonight to the church is Jesus Christ. If those Egyptians could ever got that simple stick out of Moses' hands, they would have had him whipped. And when the devil can ever get the deity out of the name of Jesus Christ, he's got the church whipped.
Yes.
That's where all the power is. That's why Satan is against it. It's the name of Jesus Christ. So there's strong forces in the 21st century, you know, not too far away, anointed and doing their best to remove the deity out of the name of Jesus Christ and place it in this man or this organization or whatever. When you do that, you got nothing. You see? They put it somewhere else and doing very smoothly. And that is why some followers of this glorious message seem to be whipped and powerless. Their kids aren't following the Lord. Well, because they've taken the deity out, you see? So they're following personalities, not the God of the Bible. It's still tonight all about the name of Jesus Christ. Of course, that's a sermon for another day. But if you listen to William Branham very far, he's always pointing you to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Never, I'm the great mighty prophet. And oh no, that wasn't the way it worked. Okay, 19 and 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Yes. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, you know, and sicknesses and disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, I first visited Paul's grave in Rome in 1973, and all it was a marble slab, and it was you know, in pieces. And so, you know, no revelation, I guess. I wasn't very smart at the time. I asked the guide, well, how come this? Oh, she says, all these hundreds of years since then, people have come by here with a little rock and a cloth and a string, and they drink it down until it hits the sarcophagus. You know, it's like a vault, and then drag back out, and people have been healed all these years. Well, that's right there. From his body was taken. So they got it, you know, they got as close as they could, and people were healed. But in the year 2000, work began to make the sarcophagus more accessible. So now it's up. You walk right up to it, just like this, and touch it. They made it very accessible. So this is still God's word. You know, whatever that prophet touched, right here, just something from his body healed people. And from there, come prayer cloths and such. Okay, 13 through 20 has to do with what we call vagabond Jews. These are freelance. They're not Orthodox. And there was a man named Siva, S-C-E-V-A, there in those verses. He was chief priest. He had some, you know, he was way up there among the Jews. And he knew his prophet's words very well. They memorized. They didn't have an iPod. They didn't have what we have. They memorized Moses' words. They knew them by heart, you know. And so he had seven sons, and they were all into casting out spirits out of people. You know, that was their job. And so they heard about the success that Paul had there in verse 11, you know, great miracles by the hands of Paul. And so they thought, hey, we should try that. So they found a man with what they thought was an evil spirit, but actually he was insane. We still have some today. He was insane. And in chapter 19 there, verse 13, we adjure you in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. In other words, we don't know nothing about it. We know that it works for him, and we want to be, you know, like that. Well, let's see what happened here. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said unto them, Jesus I know, and I know Paul, but who are you guys? Yeah, they're wannabes. Now, they're just kind of hitching a ride. And the man in whom the evil spirit was, he leaped on these seven guys and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And that's a pretty powerful spirit that would come on a person, conquers these seven guys, beats them up, rips their clothes off, sends them out the door. Pretty bad news, right? But in all that confusion, guess what happened? Verse 17, and this was known throughout all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear came upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So there's an example. Y'all better sharpen up, right? And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. In other words, we're sorry. We've been involved in a few things. And so they had, you know, confession-like. And such was the conviction in their hearts due to the reality of Christ and his word that many of them also used curious arts. That means like what we would call black magic and, you know, card reading and all this stuff that you see on the side of the road someplace. They brought their books together and burned them before all men. They had a big, you know, book burning downtown there. And they counted the price of them and found that all the books were worth 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, we don't use silver today, but in this book burning, it was the only way to get rid of evil spirits. You know, you don't just put it in the yard sale, you burn it. Okay? And so it's the only way to really get serious about the way of following the Lord Jesus. It's not optional, but they were convicted of the Holy Ghost, and they got really, really serious. Now, I knew a man up in British Columbia many years ago. He was a logger, lived in the woods, and he had a nice, big set of LP records. Y'all won't remember those, but they're big records. Had a lot of money invested, and it was a good collection. Well, he comes to the Lord, and he repents, he's baptized, now he's a new man. And he says that a week before, he'd been offered $3,000 for this collection. But he saw what, you know, the word says. He goes home and he takes his, I don't know how long it was, probably 24, 30-inch chainsaw, saws up the whole collection, burns it. That's the way you get rid of spirits. So in this case here, these 50,000, what is it, 50,000 pieces of silver, that's the equivalent of 50,000 days wages for one man, or about the equivalent of 10 men's wages for 14 years. So what they once thought was very valuable and a way of life was now trash in the fire. Yes. Worthless. So anything that's contrary to Jesus Christ went in the fire. They're serious. They weren't playing church, you know? They were serious. They applied the token for real. But Satan was on the scene in verse 20. So mightily grew the word of the Lord and prevailed. And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Asia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Well, So with all this going on, you know, in the way, verse 23, in the same time there arose a small stir about that way. So the people are excited, you know, and they're calling it the way because back in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I'm the truth," you know, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Well, that one word stuck with, oh, they're from that way, you know. And no man cometh to the Father except by me. So the one word is what stuck with them. And but then, as usual, the twins showed up. There was revival, turning people away from idol worship, away from their favorite personalities, and being baptized, living right, following the way. But the ones making the idols, now they're out of business. Because somebody had to make those things. You know, they don't just pop out of the ground. And so they got all upset. And there's a man named Demetrius. He was a silversmith in Ephesus and crafted the elaborate shrines, you know, to the Temple Diana. See, the Roman name, Artemis, was the Greek name. So in verse 25, they had a union meeting to discuss their future. Now let's see what they got here. Verse 25, they called the workmen together, you know, like, say, a union meeting. He says, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, we see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but also throughout the whole countryside here in Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands." Well, of course, that's part of the Bible in the Old Testament, too. Made by hands, didn't hear, didn't see, nothing. So that not only this, our craft, is in danger to be set, you know, at naught. In other words, it's all coming to zero. But also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all of Asia and the world worships. So this was a big deal back then. This was before the Roman Catholic Church, but it was what led to it, you know. 28, "And when they heard these sayings, they were very upset, full of wrath, and they cried out, saying, 'Great is Diana of the Ephesians.'" So it's kind of a riot, like, you know. "And the whole city was filled with confusion, having caught Gaius and Artiscus," whatever, "men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, that rushed with one accord into the theater." Bring these guys to court. Now, in verses 6, 12, and 17, there's great blessings of God. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. But now in verse 29, there's mass confusion. Why? Because they can't stand it to be a manifestation of the word, you see. They took two Christians into custody. They brought them into the public area, verse 32. "Some, therefore, cried one thing, others cried another, for the assembly was confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were." They didn't know why they were come together. Just like the stuff that's going on today. Yeah. They bust these people in. They don't know why they're there. They're getting $5 and a meal. Oh, yeah, we'll scream against it. Well, that's what they're doing here. All this confusion going on. But guess what? God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
This is a bunch of nonsense that's going on, you know. Look at verse 34. "And when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours screamed out, 'Great is Diana of the Ephesians.'" Yeah, it's a you know, a roar. Well, so here's Paul's two friends in there, and they're in trouble. And all these people are confused, making all kinds of noise. And Paul wanted to go in and help. But his friends and companions stopped him. "No, it's too dangerous. You're not going in there." So it was a well-calculated ruckus is what it was, you see. And that only produced what we call organized confusion. But their attention was focused on Brother Alexander there in verse 34. So we have a religious riot in Ephesus because of the way and what it produces. What's that? God-fearing Christians. See, you people here quietly worshiping God, this wouldn't go downtown. No, those people, "Oh, what are you kidding me? The long dresses, the long hair, quiet, meek attitude, no makeup. Bunch of weirdos. They can't handle that." Well, that's what's going on here. So because of the way, you know, it produces God-fearing Christians willing to take a stand for the truth, and no matter what the relatives thought or believed. So these are our brothers and sisters we're talking about. They were the present-day fulfillment of Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ was living through them, just like he's living through you, you see. Back in 1950... Brother Branham said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Get ready. Wake up. Lift up your heads. Redemption's drawing nigh. Get ready. Signs and wonders appearing. Critics and infidels waxing worse and worse." all there, way back there, 1950.
Yeah.
He says, we got to put up with them. But we're not looking to them. We're looking to God. So they're going to be here. Just ignore them.
Yeah.
Where there's confusion, go the other way. Because you are no match for that, you see. So the believer that is secure and fortified by the word of God knows that 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
The God of glory brings you peace through his word. He doesn't bring you confused, you see. So Jesus prayed for us himself. He prayed for you in John 17:20. He said, neither do I pray for these alone, these guys I'm looking at here, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word, that we all may be one. Now the Pope loves this scripture. Yeah, everybody come in, I'll tell you what to do and how to get along. No. We're going to the word, not to the Pope, Rome. So you were in the thoughts of Jesus Christ even before he hung on the cross, okay? He loves you. How much does he love you? Enough to die for you. He rose on the third day. That's the simple gospel. Resurrection is a cornerstone of our message. See? So then in our story here in chapter 19, the mayor or the town clerk got them all quieted down. He explained to them, you know, hey, you guys, calm down. In other words, people, calm down. We have laws. We have legal ways of dealing with this crisis. And he dismissed the assembly. Okay, chapter 20. After this uproar was ceased, I got it all calmed down, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go to Macedonia. And when he had gone over to the those parts and given them much exhortation, he came on also into Greece. So after the riot, Paul met with the faithful, and they embraced, they prayed, moved on to, over to Macedonia. And the text goes on to mention several of his faithful traveling companions. He had seven helpers that was traveling with him. And of significance, in verse 6, they sailed for 5 days to cover 200 miles. Now, see, we can't think like that because, you know, we get in the car and we travel 70 miles an hour. But they were sailing. They had no motors, only by oaring or by however the wind blew. So 5 days to cover 200 miles. And they were patient people. They had no other choice, really, because, you know, we live in a world of many choices. You know, we drove by many restaurants to get to where we ate today.
Yeah.
So we could have stopped any place, but we went where it was, you know, real good. And we have choice of travel, choice of restaurants, everything. Now, in Brazil, even today, a place where I've been down there, where two big rivers come together, and from there out to the Atlantic, that forms the Amazon River. Well, where they come together, the river is 5 miles wide, you know. And from there out to the coast, it's 1,200 miles. And there's no roads. You got to get on boats to get out there. And so even in a diesel-powered barge, it takes 6 days to cover 1,200 miles. So these people back here, you know, everything was slow. And they were with the believers in Troas for 7 days. That's in modern Turkey. And it was a, you know, Roman seaport at the time. And the people gathered around to see what the visitors brought. You know, what did you bring new? We want to hear about it. And they were following a pattern that was established in the beginning, where it says that they came together around the apostles' teaching for fellowship, daily breaking of bread, back in chapter 2. And they were meeting at every opportunity they got. Brother Brown said they were taking communion at each time they got together, you see, every day, following the instructions of our Lord in Luke 22:19, this do in remembrance of me. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. And they were doing it. Okay, so chapter 2, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow the next day, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, we're not going to stay till midnight, okay? We're going to stay till maybe a little later. But as we noticed throughout our study, Paul and his associates always made it a point to go to church with the Jews on the Sabbath in their synagogues. And these early missionaries took the gospel wherever they found people gathered together. Okay, sometimes down at the river, like in chapter 16. And for the first time in all of our reading here, it's mentioned that they met to break bread on the first day of the week. Now, 2 points. Early churches were specifically warned against submitting themselves to the bondage of any legalistic observance of Sabbath days. It's in Colossians and Galatians. In these early churches voluntarily chose the first day of the week as an appropriate time of fellowship and worship, okay, in remembrance of the day that our Lord rose from the dead. Now, if you go back and study, you'll find in Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John that when the sun came up, he was already gone. So he arose somewhere in the night, okay? Because when they came to the grave earlier, barely could see daylight, he was already gone. But it was a new day for new people and a new creation. So the observance of the first day of the week is also in many of the early writings, even to Irenaeus, second messenger to the church. So here's Paul having a communion service with the saints in Troas, there in chapter 20. And he's leaving the next day, okay? And he's preaching to a very eager disciples there. He had a lot to tell them. He's preaching until midnight, verse 8. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered. So they're not on the ground floor like where we at. They were in upper chamber on the third floor. And all these details, lots of lights. Well, they didn't have lights like this. There was fire, you know, like torches on the wall. So if you have a lot of lights and you got a lot of people, it's getting warm in there. And there's no switch on the wall, you know, to turn the fan on, you know. So they're getting warm. It's warm. And verse 9, and they're sat in the window. So they're even in the windows. There's a young man. His name is Eutychus. And he fell asleep. You know, that happens, okay? I have fallen asleep in church, just like these little girls. I was in a church one time in, I don't know, where was it at? Trinidad, I think, down in the islands. You know, it's 90 degrees every day down there. And so they took us to this big meeting, you know, and oh, we had a big time. And they take us to a big, big lunch, you know, all this good stuff. And then we had to quit quickly because there's another group over here, about 3,000 people waiting for the next service. Well, guess what? They put me on the platform. And all it happens. But this poor guy, he's sitting in the window. He fell asleep, and as Paul was preaching, and he fell out of the window from the third floor. Hey, he's out there in the road, and he's dead. It's bad, you know. And Paul went down, fell across him, embraced him, and he said, "Trouble not yourselves. Hey, he's okay." And when he therefore was come up again, they broke bread, eaten. Talked a long while until the break of day, and that's when he departed. So here comes the sun coming up, and that's when he left. Yeah. And they brought the young man alive, and they were quite comforted. Okay. So that's what happened that day there. So now he's headed to Jerusalem, okay? Now we're going to cover probably one more chapter because I know you got to drive home. He was going up to the Feast of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the resurrection. Acts chapter 2. And from the text, they were hurrying. But they stopped in Miletus, sent a messenger to call the elders of the church in Ephesus. They came down to the port to see him. 18 through 35 of chapter 20 is his farewell speech to these believers. And he felt compelled to go to Jerusalem. He had to go, okay? And even though the saints at every stop urged him not to go, you know, your safety's at stake here. Verse 25, "Behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." Now, they didn't want to hear that, but he knew what he was talking about. Verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Everything God told me, I've told you all. And so, of course, that ties back to Galatians 1:8. If I come back next week or next month, or even if an angel comes down here and tells you something different than what I preached to you, don't believe it. Bring it back to Paul, you know. Verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath put you as overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, grievous..." Not just nice guys, but even grievous wolves are going to come in and not spare the flock. Just tear things up. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears there in Ephesus. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I didn't come here for the money. And you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, they knelt down, prayed with them all. They all wept, they're all crying on Paul's neck, they kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he had spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him down to the ship. So, it's a sorrowful time. Yeah. Hey, our messenger's leaving. He's told us the truth. Mm-hmm. And, it's all recorded here, you know. Mm-hmm. So this was their father in the gospel. This is the messenger that God sent to him. And they actually never saw him again, okay? They later received a nice letter written from prison in Rome, which is called the Epistle to the Ephesians. So, chapter 21, we are the church triumphant, okay? We're not somebody beside the road. No, we're God's important people. And we are Hebrews 13:8 of today. We're present-day acts of the Holy Ghost in believers. So, chapter 21, we'll go through this as quickly as we can, but this is a sea journey, okay? He's coming by boat down the coast, and he's headed towards Jerusalem. They land at Tyre, which is currently Lebanon, ministered there for a week in chapter 21 and verse 4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem, okay? And verse 5, and when we had accomplished these days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. So here's another tearful goodbye in the sand. Here's the boat, you know, everybody together. They're praying because it's sad. The man's leaving, you know. So finally, verse 8, they arrived back to Caesarea, which is on the coast of Israel, and they stayed at the home of Philip, the evangelist. We saw him back in chapter 6. And verse 9 says, and the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And so the words of Joel are coming to pass. Joel 2:28, your daughters shall prophesy. It was manifested right in this one family. So verse 10 of 21, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a prophet, certain prophet named Agabus. Okay. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle as part of his clothes and bound his hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him unto the hands of the Gentiles. A real prophet prophesying. And when we heard these things, both we and they that were of the place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what do you mean to weep and break my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, could we actually say those words? Could we quote that part? Lord, thy will be done. We don't know that we're going to get home tonight. We got plans, we got things due tomorrow and all this stuff. But God's will be done, whatever he wants. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease, okay, forget it. The will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went on up to Jerusalem, which today is, you know, it's a one-hour ride. But back then, it took several days to get there. So God is dealing with this man. Now, they know the danger's coming. They're going to get you. Don't go. Yes, I must go. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2. Let's see what we got back here. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you. In other words, all the doctrine, all the stuff, no. Only that Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the gospel. That's what he was promoting to these people. So after many warnings from friends, good friends, very spiritual people, even a vindicated prophet, not to go because of possible danger, Paul and his associates arrive in Jerusalem, verse 17, and they were welcomed warmly. Let's see, verse 17. They received him gladly. Okay, so verse 18. And the day following, Paul went with us unto James and all the elders that were present. Okay, now let's look at this brother James here for a minute. This is James from Matthew chapter 4, because there were several. As you read through the scriptures and read the commentaries, there was James the apostle. He was brother to John. You know, James and John, the brother, they were sons of Zebedee. And then there's James the apostle, son of Alphaeus, in Matthew 10, also known as James the Less, because he was a little shorter than the other guys. Yeah. And then there's James, our Lord's carnal brother, and James, father of Judas the apostle. So in Jerusalem, Paul meets with the apostles and church leaders, and he tells them the mighty things that God had done, you know, during the missionary trips. And so they were pleased. They glorified God. Now, this could have been as late as 56 A.D., 20 years after the day of Pentecost, okay? And so they said, now look, brother, we have a situation here in Jerusalem. That's from 20 to 25. Now, you're aware that thousands of Jews have believed, and they're very zealous of the law, but they've been informed about you. They know that you're here. You know, they've been told, and they're telling out there that you said to forsake the prophet Moses. Well, he never said that. He just said this is the fulfillment of everything he said back here. And you told him not to circumcise the little boys and to forsake the customs of the law. And they know that you're here, so there was no secrets. So they said, we have a plan, and with this plan we'll be able to maybe put some things to rest. But they said, we have four men here willing to take a vow, you know, before God. Take them with you and purify yourselves, pay for their haircut, and then all the people will know that these accusations are false, showing that you are willing to fulfill the law. So in 25, he's answering some questions and providing guidelines for the believing Gentiles. But in verse 26 of chapter 21, then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Okay, so they were obeying the laws of Moses, following the law, advice of the brethren. And so, but once again, the twin appeared. It's all through the book. They always showed up, you know. And so you can always count on that until the day of the rapture. Now we're going to look into this other Bible here in the 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You look at your Bible and see how it compares. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 and 14. Mm-hmm. So he says here in 1 Corinthians 10. No other temptation has overtaken you but that which is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted beyond your endurance, but will make a way for you to escape your temptation so that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, keep away from idolatry. There it is again, idolatry. Yeah. Why is he always mentioning this? Because it's very human to want to worship something, burn a candle, do something, idolatry, you know? So we go on to verse 27 of chapter 21. Let's see here. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were in Asia, when they saw him in the temple, they stirred up the people and grabbed him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches every man where, you know, against the people, against the law, and against this temple, and further brought Greeks into the temple," which wasn't true, "and hath polluted this holy place, for they had seen him there in the city of Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple." Well, so here's another religious riot in Jerusalem. And there's great confusion. They grab Paul, and they planned to kill him right there on the spot by beating him to death. That was their plan, okay? Verse 31. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain, like the chief of police, that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. See, they're supposed to be keeping order. The Romans are keeping order amongst these religious people. And now there's a riot down there, and news came to him, so, you've got to do something, you know. And so they were trying to beat him to death mainly on a supposition, on a rumor, you know. So someone went and reported the activities to the captain of the band, the chief of police. He took a bunch of soldiers, go down and check it out. When the rioters saw him coming, them, the soldiers, they quit beating on Paul. So the soldiers restrained him, got him over here safe, and they put him in chains and asked who he was, what's this all about? Because they had no idea. They're the problem, you know. So the crowd began shouting all kinds of accusations. Nothing was understood. So the captain said, fine, we'll take him into headquarters. We'll deal with this later. So due to the violence of the people, the soldiers were actually carrying Paul. They're carrying the preacher into the prison. And they're going up to the stairs of the building. And the people, they're shouting, he should die. And they had no evidence, only a supposition. It was all a bunch of confusion. So they were so blindly loyal to their religion. Prophet Moses said this, and this guy's saying this. It's only the fulfillment. They couldn't handle that, you see. So they're so blindly loyal to their religion that they, what they thought to be truth, quoting their prophet, ready to kill anyone who didn't see it exactly their way. Mm-hmm. Blind fanatics. Yes. And we got them today.
Oh, absolutely.
They're carrying spoken word books.
Yes.
Yeah, I know some of them, you know. So they were ready to die or to kill for their view of a God of yesterday. Totally ignoring what God was doing present tense and not interested at all in what the future might be.
Amen.
They were content with forms, rituals, quoting verbatim, but no life, no revelation.
Amen.
And willing to kill anybody with a different point of view. That's what they were doing. And we're coming to that now, you see. So the revealed word was a totally foreign concept. They could care less. All they cared about, what'd the prophets say? You'd be surprised the phone calls I get, people that haven't been living right, they got a big TV, they got all this stuff going on, and then something happens with their kids. And then they call. Oh, what did Brother Ram say? Well, at this point, Brother Ram's words aren't too important. You should have thought about that a few years ago.
Amen.
You know. But they get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Well, what did the prophet say? Well, let's start with repent, you know. Yeah. But very selectively, they ignored parts that were not convenient to their views. Mm-hmm. And of course, they didn't have any actual recordings, you know.
Yeah.
But God's word is never stagnant. It's always moving, you see.
Amen.
It is a truth that you can depend on. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said this morning, when all this burns, the word will still be the word.
Amen.
Matthew 24:35.
Oh.
But the word of God is living, it's moving, and God will find somebody somewhere through whom he can make it come alive, you see. He has no hands but your hands. He has no mouth but your mouth. No feet but your feet. But we must be totally yielded to him to do as he pleases. Not what I want. Thy will be done. You see? We've got to be totally yielded. Brother Branham was born a seer. He was born a prophet. But God could only use him properly when he was totally yielded. Yes, Lord, I'm finished fighting. It's all yours. You see? So, I run across it all the time. We've got to quote, say what he says. Fine, let's start with this. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Branham was human,
yeah.
You know. He said, God can withdraw his mercy from me anytime he desires. So what about us? We think we're somebody special? No. Only thing that makes us special is that God has trusted us to live out our portion of the drama here in dark Laodicea.
Yeah.
That's what makes us special, see.
Yeah.
All the saints of the ages are depending on us to come to our place so that God can get us together. So may God have mercy on us here at the end time. Okay, let's go back here to 21, verse 37. Let's see, try to wind this up. 37 says, and as Paul was led into the castle, in other words, here's the like the headquarters. So they're taking him into the headquarters. He said to the chief captain, "May I speak to you a word?" "Oh, you can speak Greek? Aren't you that Egyptian, which, you know, in these days made a big uproar and led all those people out, and thousands of men, murderers?" Paul said, "I'm a man, which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. I beseech thee, suffer me to speak to the people." And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hand. There's all these thousand people out here screaming and hollering. Beckoned with his hand to the people, and when there was made a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew tongue. So he was at least bilingual. And he put out his defense. So what did he look like at that point? He didn't look like a preacher. He was bloody, he was tattered, pretty scroungy. He quieted the crowd, and without a microphone, he began his defense. And it's after 8 o'clock, so we're going to stop there. And you can read all about it in your spare time. And I'll be back as soon as I can.
Amen.
May God bless you,
my
brother.
Amen.
And we shall discuss that next date.
Probably next month. I don't know when he can be here. We'll find out.
We'll find.
Amen. We enjoy that, though, don't you?
Amen.
You know, I can just sit and listen to that for the hours. I really could. I just really enjoy it. You know, it's as I said this morning. He has a way, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, just to bring it alive to us. And I appreciate it. I really do. It's just so good. There's nothing that grows old about the Word. The Word of God is inspired, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Praise His name. Won't you, sisters, come and we'll sing a little song before we leave. Amen. I've enjoyed it again. Amen. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. So thankful again that the Lord has blessed us to let our brother come this way and be a part of our little group here. We appreciate it so very much. And, of course, as I told him before, I wanted to always know he's always welcome. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good. Amen. Anybody got a song you want to sing? And at all, Brother Timothy? He's always my fellow, lets me know all of the songs to sing. Brother Josh? Amen. Let's sing that. Amen. That'd be good.
222.
Remember the books and pictures up there.
Yes. And also, as soon as we get done here, Brother George Smith has got pictures up there and books and different things to see if there's anything you want to purchase up there. So make sure if you want anything, to go up there and see what's up there on the table up there at the building. Amen. I appreciate him bringing it by because there's some things I was wanting to get. Take the name of Jesus with you. Let's start with the verse there. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it everywhere you go. Oh, precious name. Precious name.
precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. Oh, in His loving arms receive us, in His songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, at the name of Jesus bowing, calling prostrate at His feet. King of kings in heaven, welcome Him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hallelujah. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Amen. Let us all stand. Yes, we already are. Let us bow our heads for the name of prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, we love You and so thankful again for this beautiful, wonderful day that You've given us. And Lord, I'm just so happy on the inside and so thankful for this opportunity we had today. And we just, Lord, want to pray for our precious brother as he parts from us this evening, asking, Lord, that You just watch over him and keep him safe and bless his work, Lord, that he does for You. And I'm sure there's many, Lord, that has found You through this ministry that You've given him. And Lord, this great responsibility. Anytime You place a ministry upon a man, Lord, it's a great responsibility. And I'm trusting, Lord, You're just blessing richly now. And Father, may You just let the days go by quickly if You should tarry. But Lord, we could come and see him again, Lord, and hear the precious word again that You've laid upon his heart. Thankful for him, Lord, may he be blessed now. Watch over each one of us as we travel home, Lord. There's many, Father, that will have to drive a distance to get home. We know that You're the precious King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one Lord that watches over us and watches over His own. So we pray that You'll bless each one now and bring us all back the next appointed time if You should tarry, that we may glorify You and magnify You above all things in Your glorious, most precious name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Isn't that a precious name? Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. You're dismissed. Praise God.
Precious brother.